5 o'clock. We're having a show from 5 to 6. I will not be going into the archives, so call in if you have something to share. I won't be going into the second hour. I just can't do it today. And when I can, I will. It's just I have a super busy schedule now. But I'm so happy I can host and be here. And if Jerry wants to take over for the second half, he can. But I just can't do it. I have to do a bunch of lesson plans and stuff. But I love you guys. Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much for putting us together until you're appearing. We love you. We can't wait to see you. And God bless you, Michelle and Jerry and Rosemary. Yeah, just refresh. It's all better. I have a really cool, fun song I'm going to play. My son and I were rocking out to it earlier. Jerry uploaded it. It's called Shut Up and Dance. You know, I'm in a very festive mood because we are getting ready for a wedding. And it's an exciting time. Okay, I know we all have, you know, rapture symptoms and that are increasing, and that's the only cure is the rapture. But we can still have joy unspeakable and ton of excitement and expectation of our soon coming groom dance. Okay, Shut Up and Dance is called this song, and it's really fun. And my son and I played it when we were doing school today. And I'm sorry, I'm still congested. I'm still getting better. I'm almost better, but you know, that's how it is. So here we go. Shut Up and Dance. Jesus, we love you. We can't wait to dance with you. And we want everyone to shut up when we dance with you because it's all about you and us together. It's a fun song. Thanks, Jerry, for putting this up.
We'll be right back.
is me. I love it. I love it. That's so me because I want to doggy pile everybody I love at RCC. I'm so violent, okay? I don't know why God made me so. Like, if I really love you, I punch you, and I hug you, and I pick you up, and I spin you around, even if you're, like, way more than me. I'm just weird. And so this is so perfect. Shut up and dance. I'm just going to be, like, doggy pile you, and then I'm going to pick you up and be like, shut up and dance with me, and we're going to dance. We're going to have so much fun. I love you. Be afraid, though. Be very afraid of my excitement over Jesus and my family. But, yeah, I'm really excited because as soon as the show started, I got filled with all this joy. And believe me, it was a really hard day today. Okay, not a bad day. There's no bad days in the kingdom, and you don't have to ever have a bad day. But super bipolar day, okay? I had an incredible thing, incredible trial hit me right in the face, like almost right before the show. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I really have to host a show. I cannot believe what is going on here. And then the Lord took care of it, and we got through it. And then the music started, and the Lord just filled me with his joy. So it's okay, you guys. We're the bipolar rapture-centric, like Rojo said. And so I have incredible joy right now, and the day was hard, but Jesus was with me in it, and now it's better. And actually what happened got resolved, and he had me do some different things that I don't normally do when I'm addressing things, so that was unusual. And but Jerry said he's having a bipolar day too, but he's missing the happy pole, the positive pole in the bipolar. But he's getting better. See, because when you get with your family, see, the thing is, if the little lambies, if the sheep get away from, you know, the fold, you can get picked off. So I encourage everyone in this last hour to stay in the cult. Jesus is our cult leader. You know, our cult book is the Bible. Drink the Kool-Aid, okay? If he's made you rapture-centric, stay in the fold. Don't run off and get picked off, you know, because it's just stay in community. Stay where there's love and there's safety in numbers. See, so if you're having a hard time, one of us can come along here and pull you up with the strength that we have, okay? And if you're having a hard time and you want to lash out at us, you can do that here. We'll still love you back. We'll just say, hey, don't get mad at me. Get mad at, you know, the devil or yell at God, but I'm here to love you. I'm not. Don't get mad at me, you know. I have people take their stuff out on me. And sometimes I'm really nice about it, and sometimes I have to say, hey, hold on. I'm just a jackass here. I have feelings too. I've been in the Lord a long time, and I can take a lot of abuse. It's all good, but, you know, if the Lord doesn't want me to suck it up and take it, I won't. But if he does, I gladly lay down to help you have a better day. You can abuse me. You can abuse me. Some of my best friends, since God falling on my son, have been people that were formerly mean to me. They become like my best friends. Like, they hated me, and then they loved me, and I always loved them. Anyway, yes. So anyway, Michelle's saying her motivation for this life has drained out. This is what this community is about, too. Jesus is our pastor, rapture-centric church. He knew that at the end of time that we were going to be dealing with all these weird emotions and things because he made us rapture-centric. So it's really cool to know that when you come here, oh, see, Michelle had a hard day too. So she identified with me and that made me feel better. But she's, and she is saying that her motivation for the life, for this life has drained out. And yes, that is absolutely right. Okay. We're not saying that we don't have the joy of the Lord and that we don't have his energy, but he is taking this from us. And I know what she means. I'm substitute teaching now, part-time. And, I needed to do that, and I'm blessed that I have the ability to do that. But the motivation to do it, oh my gosh, to even be in a classroom, yeah, I get it, Michelle. It's totally drained out, but I do it because this is what I need to do for now. And so it's a place, a community where you can share and feel safe. Because, see, nobody wrote the book on how to behave right before Jesus comes because we didn't know Jesus was going to do this to us. I didn't know he was going to do this to me, okay? Blame him, you guys. Just keep blaming him, okay? We're having a fun time in the chat room, okay? I'm looking at what everyone's writing, and it's making me laugh. I love my family.
You know what? When I see everybody so funny, it makes me want to talk in a Bub's voice. I don't know. It's just because when I feel really fluffy toward people, just Bub's voice comes out. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know why.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. And see, Jesus allows for every personality at his church. Okay, so we're not in the normal four walls church where you have to stand up, sit down, stand up, shut up, act like everyone else. I am a silly goose, and I...
And you know what? If you don't like that, well, you can just hang up on the phone right now or turn your computer off. Because this is who I am. Get over it. My name is Bubby G, and I love you.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, so Jerry's saying his inner boat. I'm sorry, you guys. They're saying funny things. My air in my boat has mostly drained out, Jerry's like, I'm doing swimmingly, and Rojo's like, I know what you mean, motivation about life, and Jerry's all ditto, and weird, we're still here. I know it's so weird that we're still here. It's like a bad nightmare. Okay. I get you, Rojo. And then Michelle said last night she was trying to forecast. She was like, I don't give a flip, and I don't feel like figuring out what the forecast is. And she did, too, because she texted me. And I actually woke up at 4 a.m., and I got her text. She had texted me earlier. And she's like, she let me know, oh, my gosh, I don't even feel like doing my work. I'm not even motivated. Pray for me. I don't even know if she said pray for me. But I woke up at 4 in the morning, wide awake, like gasping for air. And I was like, oh, I'll pray for you right now. She's like, thanks. So she's like, she doesn't even care about the forecast. Her job's important. Anyway, I think it's funny. And Rojo's like, I don't give a flip. And Michelle, Jerry's saying, here's Michelle on the forecast. Everybody duck. That's the forecast. Alana's on the line. I wish Alana was in the chat room because Alana's computer's messing up, but I wish Alana could see all the silliness going on here. And it's anointed, glorious stuff. So, yeah, and so Michelle's like, meteors and nukes in the forecast, and apparently flash flooding since we are in a flood wash. Don't make me laugh because I can't breathe. I'm still sick, okay. And but I get lots of sympathy at my house when I'm sick, so don't pray for me to get better. I need to milk this one, okay. No, actually, you can pray for me because I have to go to work tomorrow, bright and early in the morning, and so I need to not be hacking in people's faces. So I love you guys. Yes, call in if you have something to share because it's going to be a short service. I'm not going to go into the archives, but I'll be in chat off and on. I just have a lot of preparing I have to do, and I've been mostly laying down, doing homeschool with my kid today, just trying to get better for the week. I mean, we're probably not going to be here tomorrow. Okay, so just I'm resting in that fact, okay, but I have to get a few things together just in case I wake up here. My son has to have some food, and I have to pack lunches and do stuff. But, yeah, so Michelle's joking about doing her weather forecast. She's like, take cover now. Y'all are funny. If you're listening into the show later on and you're like, what is Judy talking about? She sounds like she's drunk. I'm not on NyQuil. I know I sound like it. I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost. He filled me with a bunch of joy right when the song started because I really was in a vile mood, okay? Because I had some things attack me, and it was purely an attack. And the Lord totally was disgusted by it, too. I could feel it, okay? And so then he had me write out an email to the person who was attacking me, and it's nobody here in our family or anything like that, RCC. It's stuff I have going on in family and extended family. And I could feel his fuming anger in me, and I was emailing this person, and then it was a really, like, fuming email, and then the Lord was like, okay, good. And then I could feel it all come out when I wrote, and then he goes, okay, now I want you to erase this part and put this, and I'll erase it. So basically, I got to, like, how mad I was and what an injustice toward me. And when I was doing that, it was coming out, and the Lord was like, okay. And he was with me. He was so nice. And then he goes, okay, that's perfect. You feel better now? I'm like, yeah. And he let me know he was angry. It was his anger. It really wasn't me. Because, see, I'm dead. I've died. I died. And no, it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ in me. So the life that I'm now living is in Christ. So when I am having these emotions, I'm positive it's God. And I just didn't know where to go with it. I couldn't lash out at the person in front of me. That would have been wrong. Okay, so sometimes he lets me, but he wasn't. Okay, so basically I'm writing it out, and then I felt better, and I was about to press send. And he's like, okay, now you have to go change some things. Really? Because I like sending
doing that. That would have been mean. I wouldn't like that. But no, he's like, okay, now change this and change this part. And then the damn letter was just a really nice letter. I'm like, wait a minute, you're so shady. So basically you let me rage to you on the letter, and now I had to rewrite the letter to the person, and now it's all flowery and sweet. I said, God, you're just too sweet. I love you. So, but the letter got the point across, and it was really nice and kind, and I think it did good. I did good because my daddy was with me, and he told me it was good. So anyway, you guys, I am drunk on the Holy Spirit of Mighty Jehovah God. It's biblical. Go read your Bible. Read the book of Acts, and just get off my case. I am free. I am free in the Lord. And the Lord let me be challenged today, and then he lifted me up from it. So you know what? It's all good. And now I'm in a really, really good mood, and it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine, is what Michelle just said in chat. Jerry, can you please put that song to our songs that we listen to? I know the song has some bad lyrics. We can just keep playing the chorus. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel, oh yeah, Jerry, I'm going to expose Jerry. Okay, Jerry texted me yesterday and he said, you know how Jeremiah is the weeping prophet? Well, if we're here tomorrow, I'm going to be the cussing prophet. Jerry's mad. Sorry, Jerry. It's family. Come on, let me expose you. I'm a jackass, so you can't get mad at me. So Jerry said, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to stay here anymore. So Jerry's the cussing prophet. Jeremiah's the weeping prophet. And I'm the laughing prophet. But I'm actually a laughing jackass. You're not playing pin the tail on the donkey at my mansion party, okay? If you want to be a donkey, Alana, or Pat wants to be, let me unmute them. I better just shut up. I'm just rambling.
Oh,
I'm not
funny.
On NyQuil.
That's okay.
I sound like I'm on NyQuil.
What? NyQuil's good.
I'm actually not, though. I wish I was, but the thing is, if I keep taking NyQuil during the day, it's going to make all the mucus stay down, and the mucus needs to come out. So
gosh.
Believe me, I
need
love my NyQuil. Yeah, exactly. But I love you, Alana. I love you, Mama Pat.
Okay.
And I love you, Rosemary and Jerry and Michelle. And I'm going to kick you, Guess. I don't love you, Guess 3549. Make a name for yourself. I do love you, Guess 3608. Just make a name. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. We're not trying to, get members here. We don't get paid per head, okay?
Right.
This isn't the old-fashioned church where we get a tithe. In fact, if you come, you bring more trouble, so... You know, we don't encourage anyone to come here, okay? I'm just kidding when I said that. We all bring trouble. We all have our issues. But I'm not as nice as, Tana and Michelle and Jerry when they host. They let guests stay for, 30 minutes. I am you guys are too nice. But they don't see what I see, so there.
Mm-hmm,
anyway, so I have guests doing weird things to me. Let's not expose the guests right now. So, Michelle said she's going to host on Wednesday if we're here, and I'm doing it today. So, I love you guys.
Love you too, honey.
I've been, Jesus is coming. I feel more excited about his return today than I did yesterday. I was super surprised to be here Sunday. Not so surprised today. I didn't wake up in, total shock. I was like, all right, that means you're coming this week. This is a really big week because the 15th is Ascension Day, and a lot of people think. And then Peter John did his calendar thing. I really do love Peter John. Marianne has turned me on to him. And so he, his calendar's winding down. God showed him a calendar in 2010 and said that it showed him all kinds of things. And his calendar for Jesus is, return. I mean, I'm talking Battle of Armageddon is in 2016 September. So he put out a video yesterday saying, we're out of here. It's imminent. And it's kind of cool because it matches Jerry's, honestly, you guys, if you really study, there is no 7-year tribulation. That is just a misinterpretation in the book of Daniel. But I'm not here to debate apologetics. I'm not here to really, but what I'm saying is I think it's really cool because Peter John, Jerry had been telling me a while back that, and I never believed in the 7-year trib. I mean, I heard about it, but I never really saw it there in the way. And so I just was like, no, that's, and so I never really was one way huge, big, or the other. So, but I always sensed after he fell on my son that as soon as this judgment comes, there ain't going to be 7 years. I'm sorry. We don't even have 7 years because of what Fukushima has done, you guys. So it really makes sense, though. But see, now Jerry had told me back when it wasn't popular, I don't really want to say this, you know, on the air or anything, but, you know, it's not 7 years. And I really think it's probably like more like a year and a half before the Battle of Armageddon, after the worldwide rapture. I think that's how long the Great Trib will be, about a year and a half or less, or less. And so it's interesting that he told me that. And I totally was like, oh, yeah, no, me too. I'm glad you said it, because I'm totally don't think it's going to be that long, especially the way he showed my son things. I mean, listen, he didn't tell my son the amount of time I tried to ask God how long, and he said, I told you enough. I'm not going to, you know, so he wouldn't tell me, because I'm telling other people, ask him how long. But, you know, he actually gave this guy, Peter John, who I believe, there's very few people outside of RCC that I believe, but I do believe Kleck, I believe Lisa, and I believe this Peter John guy. And the clock that God gave him was his triumphant return at the Battle of Armageddon in September of 2016. And that really matches up with, if we were to leave any day now, that the, you know, tribulation wouldn't be too much, very long, which would match what Jerry told me. And I really believe that that is the truth. And even though he never told my son and I how long the Great Trib would last, what he showed my son in terms of judgment was so extreme, I'm thinking, how can this kind of go on for 7 years? So it's just exciting, you guys. It's so exciting. Oh, welcome, Carol. Carol's here. She's talking about what's on Drudge. Yes, we were supposed to be blown up today or something. Yeah, it was on the Drudge. I saw it, too. By the ISIS rat. Yeah, by the ISIS rat. You know, we wish. Okay, the chat room is off the hook funny, so please don't mind me. But Rosemary said that ISIS backward is sissy. She's right, sissy. S-I-S-I.
You're dead.
You know what? ISIS, I invited ISIS. I made birthday videos inviting ISIS to come and chop my head off. And they never responded.
Oh.
Nobody even threatened me. When my son was a 10-year-old prophet prophesying, we got death threats to our house. Okay,
oh my gosh.
So I'm thinking, if I'm provoking ISIS, is anyone going to at least death threat me or do something? And nobody,
no.
They didn't even listen to me. I was overlooked. So I don't believe your threats, ISIS. Yeah, I saw that too, Carol. We were supposed to be blown up today. And, you know, the truth is they're dying to do it. And God's dying to let them. They just can't do it until we're out of here. And so bottom line is, as much as I would love to be blown to bits today, it ain't going to happen. As much as it made my day, Carol, when I saw the report, I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I ate ISIS and Ebola for breakfast today, so, yeah, they won't be blowing me up. And,
oh,
my gosh, is it really Sirabelle? Is this really Sirabelle? Because I have not talked to you for...
Yes, it's me.
Hi, Sirabelle.
Hi.
Sarah, I'm so glad you called in.
Oh.
I haven't really been able to host in like the longest time, and you call in the time I'm hosting. I'm so excited.
What? Oh, that's crazy. Hi,
I'm
everybody.
Being a total.
Hi,
I'm being a total goofball. So it's like the perfect day for you to call in.
Oh, just hey, I heard something about like something being blown up, and I was like, "Yep, I'm just on time."
And Rojo was saying that ISIS backwards is sissy. S-I-S-I-S-I-S.
Yes. Bunch of sissies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, welcome Alana and Mama Pat and Sirabelle.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How's everybody up
there? Good. Okay, we're here. We're hanging in here. We're good. We're
Yay.
Good.
We're standing, dude.
We're all hanging.
We're like full of glory. We're like
fully
drunk and hammered and full of glory, and we know God's coming. And we're hanging on, like, we're not even hanging on by a thin thread. We don't even have the thread. Jesus took the thread.
Yeah.
Midair.
So Jerry called in, too. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
And Sirabelle, you meet. Sir, we miss you. Everyone in chat saying hello, sir.
I miss
so
you guys,
us,
too. Hi, everybody.
Any latest downloads, or how's your life, and do you love your life?
Yeah, well...
I've actually been working. That's what's gone on in my physical life and in my spiritual life. I have disappeared. I don't even really feel that much of Earth anymore. It's hard to explain, but I don't even feel like I'm here anymore. I basically feel like I'm living in heaven from Earth, but not really.
Cool.
But it's an exciting time.
Very exciting time.
I've just had like a lot of stuff going on with my personal life and my personal walk. A very good thing, and yeah. Jesus is getting us ready, so yay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy. I'm
good.
Happy.
Oh, my. So we have an asteroid coming on the 14th that's skimming by, and if it has gets nudged, it's going to smash into the Earth, and it's 1/8 the size of Everest, so fun
yeah,
time.
Promise,
oh, my gosh,
promises,
that's awesome.
Promises.
Dang it, they don't mean it. I mean, they just told us today that this thing is coming. I mean, hello. I mean, I don't care, but gee whiz. Oh, my goodness. It's cornball. It really is. Today you tell us we kiss our caboose goodbye on Thursday. Okay, that's fine. I'm leaving in the air on Wednesday. Sorry. Right out on the comet. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Never heard of this thing? Stupid.
Oh, my gosh.
They tell us today. Right on Thursday. Sorry.
Okay. I have a couple things to say because Judy just put a message in chat. Her battery died, so she can't hear anything. She's going to get herself worked out. I may have to log into the studio.
Okay.
And I want to say hi to Cerebral because I was in chat and I didn't say hi to Cerebral.
Hi.
But since I called in, I wanted to say hi the other way. So hi, Cerebral. Hi. Good to hear you.
Hi, Derry.
Anyway, so I truly want to use that. So, sorry to interrupt. I just thought I would let everybody know. I'm not going to be. I'll see what I can work out here. So, yeah. Pat, if you have anything or just whatever, just go ahead and
Just numbers and more numbers and cuckoo 44 all over the place, you know.
You know. In the last 22 hours, I bet I've seen 44 8 times. It's been
easily.
And over and over again. It's just been incredible. It's like, I'm not even looking at the clock. I just glance
Exactly. It's all
44.
Over the place.
I've got my computer on a 24-hour clock. I looked up one time, it was 1444. Like,
yes, that too. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Or 114 or something with a 1 or a
it's
4
just,
or whatever. Yeah.
Now, I'm not even sure who sent this to me now, somebody, and we talked, maybe you sent, I think you sent this to me, Pat.
I probably did. I sent you all kinds of stuff.
The 44 thing. Anyway, one of the things when you read through it, it indicates, and it has some really interesting support, that 44 is God, means chosen one.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't make that up. I'm just saying that's what.
No, that's in there.
Yeah, it's in there, and there's a lot of very interesting support because this person goes in and demonstrates that there's very positive connotation for the 44th time. Several of the patriarchs are mentioned in scripture or in books of scripture, like Abraham and Jesus and others.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. And anyway, so Chosen Ones is one of the meanings of 44. It has been hitting me over the head over. Maybe that's why I don't feel very well. I mean, seriously, I have never seen so many in such a in a day and ever.
I know.
Over and over.
Yes.
In fact, I've been down for the count half the day because, quite frankly, I don't feel very well. And
yeah.
You know, I just woke up with a whole series of different things that have me
Welcome to life.
Less than my best, yes. And so, anyway, 44 things over and over. I better. Okay. Looks like.
Oh, I have a flirt to share whenever you guys are ready.
Okay,
oh,
that's
sure.
Good. I need to call into the studio, so that'll be really good. I'll be back in just a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
The past couple, not including this morning, but the yesterday morning and the morning before that, whenever I was getting off of work, it's just the sky looked so beautiful, the sunrise, and the air just, I don't know, I just felt God's peace when I was walking outside, and everything just seemed so peaceful, and the way the sun was reflecting on everything from the sunrise, just, it was just so peaceful. And that's basically what I had to share.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have that just about every day. I'll look at the trees or whatever, and this peace just comes in me, almost like I'm in some place I don't know. You can't explain it, but it's so peaceful and beautiful, and sometimes it brings tears in your eyes because you can't define it, but it's there, and it's in your soul and heart, and it's so peaceful and beautiful. And it's like he does that just about every day, you know? Wow. I hear you. That's really nice. Yeah, it's lovely.
Oh,
Judy
is saying in the chat room that she's not going into the second hour, so everyone who wants to call in should call in now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, I had sort of an interesting afternoon. My crazy kids who don't believe in the rapture, we went and looked at a log cabin that's 90 years old, and they've said that we're going to move here because it's a lot less than living here. So they're all psyched up they think they're going to do this, you know. And it's like, if I say, I'm not going to be here, it's like, right over the head, you know. Oh, it's right near the lake, and it's beautiful, and they had me go see it, and it's still like, Lord, I just say that, Lord, I'm not going to be here. You know, and they're thinking, oh, we're going to get this place, and we're going to, you know. It's like, I'm not going to be here. It's like, nobody listens. They all think I'm nuts. Oh, anyway, so it's just, you don't know what to say anymore to people, you know, especially your family. It's like, don't you get it? No. Oh, boy. So they think they're going to buy this place, you know, within a very short time. And it's you know, I'm not saying a word. I've said what I've said, okay? Back me up. And they can go ahead and do what they want. And when they see that everything is like, it's on them. Because they don't listen to me. So there you go. I'm sure I'm not the only one going through, you know, stuff where people don't listen.
Yeah. Honestly, he's just had me in a place. He's had me in a place that was, you know, not quite that, but I'm okay with it. I mean, I have a spiritual peace, but my daily existence, walk, humanness is really, really spread thin right now. And I'm wearing it, and I can't help it. And especially today, I had some physical things. It's one of those days, like I woke up, and then I had one of those pinched nerves or things in my neck, so I'm really uncomfortable. I could turn my head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to make it. But anyway, it's just one of those days.
Just one of these afternoons that I had. You know, it's like they're going full steam ahead with this. I'm going to get the loan, and we're going to get this, and we're going to go visit them, and you're going to take a look at the place. And it's like, I you know, I'm calm, but I'm just going along because I can't say anything. And the place is lovely. Don't get me wrong. It's beautiful. And it's like, you think this is all going to happen? And I just look at the Lord and say, this is in your hands. This is like a biggie thing, and they don't want to listen to me. And I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going along, and if you guys want to do that, go right ahead, but I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, Pat? You just have to say I'm not moving.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. They look at me like I'm nuts. Like, yeah, yeah, right. You screwball, you know. I don't care. I don't care. When they move there without me and they don't have my money to pay the rent, then they'll finally figure it out.
That's right. I'm looking
then
forward
hit
to
when
some
the,
peace and quiet.
When they don't
nice
have the
time.
Paycheck. Then they see that old mom's money doesn't come in on except for the rent and for the mortgage. Then, gee, I think we should have listened to her. You know, but it's
so,
funny. It's funny.
Raina, see, Raina has contacted Rosemary and Judy. And asked for Michelle for the little girl who I think it's her sibling is actually staying with her. But the little girl, Nikara, who has been in the hospital with some serious problems. They yesterday apparently they said she only had one day to live.
Oh wow.
But Judy says she prayed and God told her right away that she was gonna be okay. So
wow.
when you're praying, just lift up a prayer. Let's, if you don't mind, I'll just go ahead. Father, we thank you for your awesome power and leading and encouragement about Kara. We thank you for our family. We're invited to guide you and your loving presence, power, and healing power to Kara in case. We trust you for her and we, what you say.
Amen. We agree.
Well, Pat, so when are they thinking they're going to move?
Oh, as soon as possible.
Okay.
My grandson, he's in his 20s. He said, I'll take the loan out. It's not even a real estate. They're selling it privately. They're going to probably take maybe some more money off. And and my daughter and the grandson, well, he's going to California, but he's going to, you know, do all the deal. And my other daughter and I are just kind of along for the ride. And they think they're going to do all this, you know, because they've been saying we can't go through another winter here. We don't need all this house and expense, and this would be a lot cheaper and everything. So they're totally not thinking anything that I'm saying at all. So they're going to call this week and try to wrap it up and move. And I'm going to poof. See, it's my financial end that kind of holds everything together, I'll be very honest, and my other daughter. You know, we have plenty coming in every month that we can, you know, whatever, I'm just saying. But without that, that this house will not fly. They can't do it. They can't do it without me. I can't. But I'm funny. I'm very funny. I said, well, keep the Social Security. It's a very generous one because my husband had a super job, you know. But that's why I got it, and Geraldine. But the thing is, I tease them. I said, well, when I'm poof, I'm not here. Don't cancel the Social Security. It just means I'm living somewhere else. I don't have an address. No one has to know. You can still have the money if you're still here. So we make a joke out of it, you know. You don't have to tell Social Security I went off to get married up in heaven, you know. Is that funny or what?
Yeah.
I was going to write Social Security one time and say, you know, what if I get married to a heavenly spouse, and if I'm married to Jesus, does my Social Security stop? I just see how they do it. That's a serious question. What happens? Because that's what's going to happen. So I tease them. I said, well, just keep the money in the bank and keep it coming because I'm just somewhere else. I'm not dead. Funny how to talk like this, you know. It's just so hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's hysterical. I'll give you my bank
card
and checkbook. I'll sign a few checks, and you can just keep on keeping if you're going to be here for a while. I'm gone. I'm going up to a wedding feast, you know, up in the air.
No.
I mean, all this is reality, and it's like a fairy tale to everybody else, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness, God is good. Yeah, so they're going to see these people this week. They're very anxious to sell. They want to have a larger family. The place is small, but it's beautiful. Log cabin, 90 years old. So they right near the water. I mean, it's a beautiful area. So they think that this is going to happen, like, you know, probably this week. And it's, I don't go along. I mean, I'll just, you know, but you want, I can't convince you. You know, all right, we'll see how far this goes. It's kind of, I'm very calm. It's like the Lord and I are looking at each other like, okay. Can't explain the feeling. But it's like, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's funny in a way. It's very funny. But it's like you had to learn a lesson that you don't listen, you know. But don't tell
Absolutely.
Social Security I moved away. I'm not dead.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Hysterical. Yeah. Yeah, which is true. I just got married, and I'm not living at home anymore, you know. He can't find me, but then so what?
Yeah.
I'm not dead.
That's
the whole thing. Anyway. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
It is. And they will. They'll keep it coming, and no one knows the difference, and of course, if Social Security sees that all these people have been raptured, they're going to ask, is Mrs. Owens still on Earth?
Right.
Because we want to stop the checks. If she's not, if she's been raptured. How does that work? Can you imagine the ramifications of you're raptured and you're not here, and how does the rest of the world deal with your finances and everything else about where are you? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
How long does it take them to figure it out?
Well, this is off the top of my head, but here's one thought, Pat. You can tell them when you disappear, tell them to call the cops and tell them that they think you faked your own death. And then they'll start an investigation suspicious that you're still alive, and then there will be a record that you aren't dead.
Right. I'm sure there's more than one scenario we can use here.
They'll have to argue with the police.
Yeah. Well, we can't find her. Did you look in the clouds? Oh, wait, Jesus, she's waving from the cloud. She doesn't look quite like herself. She's thin and young and she's glowing. What happened here? But she's still alive.
Right.
I've kidded with the kids like that. And I said, you know, I'm going to be raptured. I said, just keep the checks coming. That's all right, because I'm not dead. I'm just somewhere else. Seriously, this
I'm
is
sure.
a serious conversation.
And you're
so
coming
weird.
Back. So, yeah,
yes, I might come back. I might look
place.
A little different.
Keep the place clean, because I'm coming back.
I'm coming back. Oh, Gerald does. She keeps the place totally straightened up and nice. You walk in my house, it's not a thing out of line. Drive you. My husband was the same way. You know, I couldn't open up a packet of Sweet and Low and leave it on the counter. What the blank is this on here? Get rid of this. That's how he was. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really, that's how he was.
Yeah.
That's how he was. He was such a perfectionist that no wonder.
Yeah.
You know, I was crazy for 50 years. You don't know. No, his secretary was at work one time. And there was a paperclip crooked on the desk, and he took the paperclip and he made it all nice and neat. And she was wondering, you know, like, I talked to her, and she says, Mrs. Owens, I don't believe what he did. She says, what is it like to live with him? That's a true story.
Wow.
I says, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
He's sweet, but it'll drive you crazy. But anyway, yeah, but that's what we're doing this week. We're going to wrap it up with this house and try to get it. Just signing a few papers and boom, it's done. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I might be in the midst of, they're going to be in the midst, but they're going to be raptured too, because I know God's going to save them. And everything will just be stopped in midair, like all the transactions and the banks and the things and the this and the that. Nothing's going to go through. Everything just stops. Oh, anyway, it's cuckoo.
I want everybody to know. Yeah, I want everybody to know that Raina is in the chat. Hi, Raina.
Hey, Raina. And,
so I'm sure. By the way, Raina, we did just pray for Nikara, so God bless
yeah.
you and her. And,
yes.
She's,
Jesus, see this
trust
through,
God
please.
For, God
yeah,
for,
Jesus,
know.
We trust you. You said to trust you, and we do. He knows. He's got it. Because we gave it to him.
So I wanted to, sir, is there anything else you had to share or anything interesting going on with you?
Yeah, girl.
I don't really have any share material, but yeah, I'm still very much seeing the evidence of my removal and all that.
Mm.
I mean, I don't even feel like I'm on Earth. I've stopped feeling that way for a while. These days, I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm like, I need my calendar to tell me because it's like.
Right.
My sense of time is gone.
Yeah.
Kind of. But I'm still time literate. I still know how to read a clock, though, so that's good.
Yes, that's good.
Well, if I can't do that before I poof, that might be problematic. But I think I can work it out.
You'll be fine. You'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, now when I talk to people on the phone, like, I say poof and bye.
What?
I say poof.
Awesome.
Poof.
Oh, I love that. I really love that.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. Poof.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, my goodness.
No, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I hear you, Sir Bell. It's been, especially the last few days, it's like, oh, really? Is there always anything more? Because it really feels like there's simply nothing left to do.
Right. Just rest in him.
I don't give a rip about anything. It doesn't feel like.
Yes, same here.
Right. And the world's getting crazier and crazier. More things
I'm just
happening.
Like, hurry up and go up in flames already.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's very weird. I had a couple. There have been a couple things coming up. He's had me doing a little bit of garage work. I'm not going to get anything too heavy duty. I did mention this calendar thing, and I had something today about Jade Helm, but I think I'm not quite ready to get into that. If we're here tomorrow, I'll probably get into that. Let's just put it this way. Jade Helm, I don't want to see that. Anyway, Jade Helm goes from the 15th, is scheduled from the 15th of July to the 15th of September. And I think it's possible that almost every description of it could be true. And I think it's both a serious thing. I think it's also a distraction. But I want to lay it out, and there's a couple things I have to describe in detail. So, frankly, I'm just not up there right now. One of the other things that I did sort of promise I would do is get into it. I've had several different calendar things that come up again recently. And, you know, there are things to learn just by seeing the different perspectives. But I mentioned that Tana had sent me one that was a really, probably the most in-depth, I'm going to call it an expose or description of what amounts to the Enoch calendar. Now, this person was calling the Enoch calendar the Creator's calendar. There's also another site that claims to be the Creator's calendar. But this person who has doing the Enoch calendar made some really good points. But also a point that in the end, I think, not necessarily from God's point of view, but from the point of view of our current context, kind of disqualified. So let me see if I can go through this. I haven't really prepped myself for this. We'll see how I can do. The One Creator's calendar claims that the full moon, rather than the new moon, should be the beginning of the months and so on. That's something that I saw months ago, and then somebody sent it to me recently, and I looked at it again, and quite frankly, that site looks really commercial to me. Both of these versions of calendars I'm going to mention have really strong religious overtones, and that right away is a yellow flag for me, because they're all about keeping the Sabbath and what day of the week is the right day of the week, and it's extremely legalistic in that respect. However, that sense of detail has prompted these people to look at some things in more depth, and I like that aspect in one particular case of what I see. Let me just say really quickly, I see nowhere in history and nowhere in any other culture that the full moon is used as a reference for the beginning of a month. I looked into it. Obviously, you know, I'm not an archaeologist. I don't know. I don't study all the ancient cultures, but I did do a significant amount of searching, and I could find nothing besides this one location that really referenced a full moon as a serious player in things. And I was really intrigued by it, actually, because I thought it might explain something that's recorded in Luke, that the sun was darkened. And so because of the way things played off, I thought it might explain some things. But in the end, basically, I had to judge it as pretty much a major fail. One of the reasons was it was pretty commercial, and even though this site has been up for several years, there didn't appear to be any place where I could go and actually look at a current year calendar according to how they rendered. The other part of this is that they came out of Seventh-day Adventism, and they still have a fixation on the Sabbath and the keeping the Sabbath. Certainly nothing wrong with keeping the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. But, on the other hand, it is not an obligation in the manner that some of the other religious laws are, even though it is, we are told to do it. So, anyway, that's a discussion for a different thing. My point is simply it has really strong religious overtones. That's a whole full moon thing. It just has no foundation anywhere that I can find. Now, this other one is a version of the Enoch calendar, and that's something that I've been drawn to for several reasons, not the least of which is that our church family was pretty much started by the Lord calling on Judy's son, who, when he was born, had a prophecy, you know, prophetic utterance over him the moment he was born about walking like Enoch walked. So certainly an Enoch calendar has some is something we should consider. The Enoch calendar would have been the calendar of the patriarchs, the ancient patriarchs, the ones before the flood, up through Noah at least, and possibly afterwards, although there does appear to have been some change in the orbit of the Earth around the Sun as a result or in conjunction with the flood. So it could be that there was some kind of a major impact that hasn't been recorded in a culture somewhere, I don't know. Anyway, something happened. But this person went through, found some very interesting details, and this person, who has this Enoch calendar that he's calling the Creator's calendar, just about a minute to call in. He is also fixated on which is the correct day of the week. And he is saying that that the calendar should always start on the fourth day of the week, which would be Wednesday. and that it should start on the day when there's an equal amount of sunlight to darkness in Jerusalem. And that is not exactly the equinox. The equinox is a few days later. So what we're talking about is instead of March 21st, roughly, we're talking about March 16th. Now, ironically, or maybe 17th, right in there, and it's going to vary a little bit from day to day. But ironically, the offset means that if you were to start Sunday on the equinox, the way it's recorded, you would end up within a day or maybe two of having the correct day of the week. Well, once again, this person is trying to recreate the calendar and is very particular about which day of the week is which and the Sabbaths and all these other things. Now, that would have a lot of historical merit. As a side note, one of the other things that he comes up with is in searching scripture, including Jubilees and the Book of Jasher, is that there's a notation that the Omer count, which is the count basically from Passover to Pentecost, it's 7 times 7, 49 Omers, and then the 50th day is Pentecost, that doesn't start until after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it becomes, I think he said it was the 26th of the month. Okay, now, I will throw in, this would be of the first month. I'm going to throw in something else. I have been reading a version of the Book of Jubilees, and it has all of these festivals or feast days in the spring occurring a month later than we traditionally believe or read they do in Scripture. So what I'm illustrating here is the lack of certainty. Now, one of the most interesting things this person said about the Enoch calendar, he's done a lot of detailed work, is that, first of all the months are 30 days. Now, this is understood in the Enoch calendar, that all the months are, in fact, 30 days, okay? There's a couple of different lunar cycles, but none of them go 30 days. The lunisolar calendar of the Jews alternates months between 29 and 30 days to approximate a 29.5-day cycle. However, because the Enoch calendar was very straightforward, there were 12 months of 30 days, and then they added 4 days a year. They split the year up into quarters and added 4 days a year plus one day at the very end. Then every 7 years, they would add a week to the end of the calendar to keep it from getting offset more than 7 days from the solar cycle. And that's all there was to it. It was quite simple. Everybody knew what it was, and it was the same every year. And all they had to do is index it one time on the spring equinox, and they were good to go. So, and they could anticipate what day that was quite easily, not unlike the calendar we use now. In fact, in many respects, it was a little bit more precise than the calendar we have now because it was more regular. In other words, you would have every day of a given month would be the same day of the week every year. So if you were born on a Tuesday in a certain month, every year your birthday would be on a Tuesday. So there was a lot of regularity. It was quite simple, quite straightforward, and it was quite precise and really was very manageable. What he says, and this is borne out by some things we do know, he says that... he records, and we know, in fact, that the current Jewish calendar uses the names of some months which actually come out of Babylon. Remember, in the Babylonian captivity, basically the entire Jewish civilization was ported off to Babylon, and they were there for a very long time, and they adopted the ways, they integrated into society. In fact, when the edict came to repopulate Israel and rebuild it in Jerusalem, very few people actually wanted to go and go to all the trouble of reestablishing their lives and their livelihoods in a place where basically it was uncivilized compared to where they were at. So they had fully integrated themselves into, and the Book of Esther, the end of the Book of Esther, basically indicates very, very powerfully how once they gained favor into the government of Babylon, that they were recognized as very strong people. And don't forget that Esther the queen would have been, you know, made sure that that was the case, and that her offspring would also have been taught the Jewish ways, and they were in line for the throne. And I think this is reflected indirectly in this, in the what we see Daniel. Well, anyway, the legacy of Daniel lived on, let's put it that way. When the Jews repatriated Israel and Jerusalem out of Babylon, they brought the Babylonian calendar with them, which was a lunisolar calendar, and according to this person, it's identical. I'm not going to quite go that far, but it was very close to the Babylonian calendar. And it has been adapted over time, but it has never been brought back to the original creator's calendar, which is sort of his point, okay? That it, they should be all 30-day months and so on and so forth. Well, up to that point, I mostly agree. But I think there's one other really important point, maybe two. One is the feast days, which are celebrated by the Jews, were, we don't have a record of their existence prior to Abraham. In the Book of Jubilees, for example, it records Abraham celebrating the Feast of First Fruits. Okay. So that could be on the Enoch calendar. But in any event, the events of the Passion, Jesus' ministry and time on earth, occurred in a time after the Babylonian exile and repatriation of the land of Israel and Jerusalem. Therefore, they would have occurred at the time indicated by the lunisolar calendar that reflects, not exactly the same, but would reflect the calendar that they use today. It would not, those events would not have occurred, as near as I can see, on this Enoch calendar, because it was not in use at the time, the way we understand history. So even though we have an idea of how God organized things and how people recognized his ways in the calendar, I don't believe we can conclude that it was in use at the time of Christ, and therefore it doesn't reflect very strongly anything that happened in Christ's ministry or the crucifixion any more than it reflects how things are done today. So he makes a very good point about the Babylonian exile and the adoption of their calendar. I think he missed that it means that, at least in terms of history and the time of Christ, I'm not sure that we can look at the Enoch calendar, any version of it, as being what was in use at the time of Christ. Therefore, the value of it begins to be diminished in our perspective. It is possible that something like that will be reestablished, and then it'll be how it is. And it certainly, the history of it reflects the changing of the times and the seasons and those sorts of things, which is prophesied. And so they have done all of these things. My last point about these calendars is that I tend to believe the Book of Enoch, and I believe the Book of Jasher and Jubilees probably are correct scripture. However, there was really no knowledge of the content of the Book of Enoch until the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947. And the same can be said in one way or another, that there is not a traceable history of any of these books out of the canon, like Jasher or Jubilees and what have you. We can decide they're probably right or maybe not, or some degree of certainty, but the bottom line is we can't be absolutely certain. Now, here's something to know about Dead Sea Scrolls. Once they became known in the late 1940s and became recognized as real, none other than Nelson Rockefeller sent a bunch of money and created an institute and funded a building and a study structure within Israel that contains the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they very tightly keep knowledge about what is in them to themselves, except for what they volunteer to release. And everyone who studies there is obviously approved by the people who operate that institute. And so my point is, basically you have a New World Order family presiding over the institute which researches these Dead Sea Scrolls, out of which came our knowledge about the Book of Enoch. Therefore, while I believe it's believable, I believe there's real information in there, I think because there's not an extensive traceable history and not a history of multiple sources that I am aware of, it really brings all of these things from which we're constructing these ancient calendars into question. So we can't be absolutely sure. And we can test in our spirit, like I have said, I believe. But when I read about these things, I am actually, I'm reading about people who are really chasing down very small details, and God bless them for their passion. But when examined with that kind of scrutiny, you have to also keep track of what all the variables are and what all the unknowns are. And the unknowns are quite substantial in all of this information. Okay. So, I have an absolute conclusion? I'm not going to go there, except to say that I don't think we can embrace any one of these versions of calendars. Like, I have a version of the Enoch calendar that's in a handy format that I reference occasionally, and it's one of the things that actually kind of points me to the 17th of this month, as several other things have, for example. But and it is in complete agreement with this other one, and quite frankly, I'm not so sure that this other one may not have more precise information. But what I know is, I can't know. I mean, I cannot embrace one as a gold standard. And that's, I just wanted to really kind of get into that and just mention that every time I get into this calendar question, I can learn details, I learn things. I just don't think any one of them can be embraced as a gold standard. And I think when I see God speaking to Israel, the current nation of Israel, through the calendar that they currently use, it reduces my interest in all these other possibilities, because I can't, unless he gives me a specific instruction that he is using one of these calendars to determine his date, and he never has for me. Maybe he has somebody else. But for me, he never has. And in fact, the only other timekeeping or date-keeping format that he's endorsed to me is, in fact, what Judy mentioned earlier, Peter John's clock book. And he did that for me a few years ago. And that was a couple of years after I started observing some of his work. So I think if that's where you get encouragement and that's what you want to find, and there's definitely things to learn by pursuing these things, I don't want to offend anybody. I probably already have. But if you're strongly led, then fine. But just realize there are so many unknowns with all of these different possible calendar variations that it can create a lot more confusion than it does certainty. And I think we just need to be mature in recognizing that there is a certain level of uncertainty with all these optional calendars, and that it cannot be eliminated. If somebody can find proof, or I'd love to find some ancient calendar that I can bank on and then use that as a reference, but I just don't. I have yet to find the evidence that indicates that that's possible. So, okay. I think I've made my point there. Let me just ask real quick with the two people we've got online. Does anybody have a question about that? Because I'm trying not to be snarky about it. I get a little frustrated because I think people get distracted, but it's, whatever everybody, it's worth researching. It definitely is. I've learned a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But when I see the blood moon tetrads, recognizing effectively the establishment of the nation Israel, the capture of Jerusalem, and the time we're in right now, on the current Jewish calendar, as a message to the nation of Israel, well, we're not Israel, and he might use a different in fact, he's led myself and Jason and Judy and her son on several occasions over the last year or two to reference the Julian calendar. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting perspective because that is a version of that was in use at the time of Christ. So I find that fascinating and it makes perfect sense to me. And that's basically it. Currently, it's about a 13-day delay. And on the Gregorian calendar, that's just totally different subject. Breaking news. Dutch Sense has released a video today.
Yes.
About major earthquake unrest, next 7-day outlook. He's been very accurate at predicting locations of the major earthquakes over the last few weeks. And he says, Pacific, be prepared. So I haven't had a chance to look at that. Can you put I hope that's helpful for somebody, because if it does, then great. Because I just want to, if it eliminates some confusion or what have you, anybody who says they have it absolutely nailed down is not being honest with themselves. Because there is no way that I see that it can be absolutely nailed down. What I have seen is a few people try really hard. But you have to acknowledge that there's a potential quality problem with the information that's available to us in all cases. So, and we just can't know. But when I see God recognizing the calendar that Israel is currently using, that's a pretty powerful statement to me. It's more powerful than anything I see in an Enoch calendar or any other creator's calendar, or a sighting new moon calendar. Oh, and that reminds me, the last point I want to make, the one thing that I really, really agree with is in ancient times, they completely ignored the moon. The moon was not part of the calendar, but not part of the Enoch calendar. So the lunar aspect of the calendar in today's realm when we consider anything from the ancient times, the origin times, times of Genesis and Noah and so on. The moon wasn't part of it, even though obviously they saw it. The moon was a pagan thing, and because the calendar with 30 days every month cannot accommodate it, very much like the calendar we use now, where the full and the new moons float around through the months indiscriminately, because our calendar keeps track of solar orbits rather than lunar considerations. So the Enoch calendar is actually more like the Gregorian calendar that we use today than any of the religions that use the moon in their calendar, including the Jews. So that was one other point. And that was another reason that keeping track of a full moon, quite frankly, didn't make any sense, because it doesn't matter if it's a full moon or a new moon or any other moon. And one other point that was made by this guy was that the words, he professed that the words that were used in Scripture and translated as moon and month are not necessarily translated correctly. And many times when you see the new moon, when it says new moon, if you look up the words, there is good support for the idea that it really should be translated new month rather than. I wouldn't get into argument about that. I'm just laying that out there. I think it's quite clear that the Enoch calendar did not regard the moon in any way whatsoever to establish that. Just saying. Other than, obviously, there is a similarity between the month, the length of the month, and the length of lunar cycle. But the Enoch calendar never shortened its months to accommodate the moon cycle, the lunar cycle. Therefore, it really disregarded the lunar cycle altogether. And so basically the Jewish calendar is at fault in that respect with respect to God's original plan and their keeping. But God has recognized it anyway, because he wants to speak to them, the nation of Israel, in their language. Just like if we hear a word from him, he doesn't put a word in our heads in a language that we don't understand. He speaks to us in a manner that we can understand.
Right.
And so so he's doing the same thing with the calendar with Israel. I will stop. But that's what I have gotten out of it.
Right.
I don't expect to go back to that. Unless somebody can really come up with some validating evidence of, cross-referencing from independent sources the validity of something like the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Jubilees, which I believe are probably either mostly or entirely correct. However, we can't prove it, and we don't have cross-references. That, if we were doing a scientific study, we would want to cross-check our work. And I don't think we have information available to do that, even though probably there. Okay, so I hope I didn't bore everybody with that. But,
No.
It's
interesting,
just,
the different calendars, it really is.
Right, wow. That's right. There's a lot out there, and it really I am speaking to it because it is confusing, and I have looked into this in some depth three different times, and at first my head was swimming, because you've got some Jewish people out there who say, oh no, they do this wrong and blah blah blah, and, it's Jesus.
I know, right?
And this, that, and the other thing, and okay, so I went and looked at it. I finally realized, oh hey, dummy. The events that are happening in the last couple of centuries are happening in conjunction with the calendar they currently use. So why am I you know, why am I spinning in the mud?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what all the other options are when God is plainly speaking to Israel through the calendar they currently use.
Yeah.
And but the Enoch calendar is quite interesting, and
oh yeah,
and people put a lot into it, and I think actually dug up a lot of good information. Unfortunately, we don't even know God is going to act on a feast day, okay, or any day of celebration on the Jewish calendar.
Exactly.
There's a presumption of that, but we don't really know it.
We don't really know.
And the Jews don't really know either. They think,
mm-hmm.
they suppose, they hope sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really know either. I mean, God has never
Nobody
said,
knows.
I will absolutely honor this feast day with this event. He has not said that. And so even,
mm-hmm.
For those who are interested, by all means, and if anybody who has additional information, I'd be happy to hear some corroborating info for some of these things, because there is some interesting details. But beyond that, unless I hear something that is really validating, then I'm going to go. I'm going to let the calendar thing go for a while. So, like I said, I had some things about J. Helms today. I want to ponder that a little bit more. The short answer is, I think my guess is their plans, while they're evolutionary over the course of the entire event, I think, let's put it this way, I think the big climax is at the end, okay, just like we expect, and it came out very interesting, and I'll be happy to share that tomorrow for here. I think everything is going to be phased, incremental, and mostly invisible, except for the high drama discussions for a while. And I think, quite frankly, I think it's at the very end that things are going to get possibly very interesting. And I mentioned last week I was going to get into Hebrews, and I'm not ready to do that yet either. So I'm about a third of the way through it. It's very cool, though.
Oh, I bet it is, yeah.
And it speaks to us. If you want to read Hebrews from about 5 on, chapter 5 on, you'll begin to see some things. If you look at the order of Melchizedek, I think it's an apt description, and it's a great comparison between those who are counted in the order of Melchizedek, which of course was Christ among others, but not only Christ, and as opposed to those under the law. And it is a great description and explanation of the strengths and the weaknesses of the law, what it can and cannot do in the context of the ultimate salvation offered through Christ. So there's some very interesting things there, but I'm not quite ready for it. Anybody have anything else?
I have the Dutch Sense thing on. He wrote out some of the places to watch. It'll take me about 2 minutes to read them. If you want to hear,
that's great.
Watch Kuril Islands. Very possible, very large
Islands.
Earthquake.
Yeah.
Right. I've never heard of it. Yeah. As well as a moderately large mid-range 6.0 M. What does M stand for?
Magnitude.
I don't know. Thank you.
There's a Richter scale, and then M is a different scale. It's something Europeans came up with, so they had their own.
I had no idea. 6.0 M.
It's similar but less precise than the Richter scale.
Okay. So, earthquake near South Japan, Taiwan, hoping we only see smaller movement out of all this volcanic activity in the region. Keep watch in Philippines, Indonesia, for new further eruptions at the 3 volcanoes, which started erupting this past week. Bulacan, the kangaroo one, I call it that, and Assiniboine. Keep watch on Mount Harkoni, Hakone, in South Japan, near Tokyo, and near Mount Antaki, at Sakurajima, United States. Watch the Far Pacific Northwest. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Go
I
back to school,
wait.
Right? Okay. United States. Yeah. Watch the Far Pacific Northwest, as shown in the video, the 50-mile stretch from Vancouver, B.C. to the Alaska Island border. Watch the edge of the Craton states, including a new series of earthquakes, which should hit Colorado. They'll pretend to be surprised at the movement and will deny its relation to fracking, but nonetheless watch out for it to occur. Then Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas should also see new 4.0 activity. After we see the Midwest movement, we should see follow-up movement along the east coast of the United States. Oh, wow. This should come at the end of this week, going into the next earthquake forecast time period. Southern California, watch out east of Los Angeles near Pisgah. I'm not saying that right, am I? Pisgah.
It's Pisgah.
Yeah. North to Mono Lake for additional noteworthy movement above 4.0 m, but under 6.0 m. Also watch the downtown Los Angeles. He's got it all capitalized. Also watch the downtown Los Angeles fracking operation for a possible 4.0 m plus event. Europe, be on the watch near South England, west across the channel into North Holland. Possible 3.0 m to 4.0 m activity. North Africa, be on the watch from Algeria to Gibraltar for a possible 5.0 m plus. Central America, watch. No, hold on. Watch. There's only these two more. Central America, watch North Mexico in the Gulf of California for a 6.0 m range event. Could be just under 6.0 m in the 5.7 to 6.9 m range. South America, coast of Peru into central Colombia, 6.0 to mid-6.0 m range earthquake. Holy shkamole!
Yeah,
jeepers, creepers!
Cool.
Wow, Dutch!
So, I would definitely focus on the larger ones that he's predicting there. He's been doing very well with those.
Oh, he's a good guy. I mean, he's on the money with a lot of stuff. You know, he's trying. I mean, he's a good person. I mean, he's got a good heart.
The Kuril Islands.
Where are they? They're
part of Russia, but
oh really?
They're almost really part of an island chain or a land bridge that includes Japan. So if you were to find the Kuril Islands, you would go to Japan,
mm-hmm.
go north past the northernmost tip of the Japanese island. I think it's Honshu.
Okay.
And a little stretch of water, and then not very far, by the way. And then you have what they call the Kuril Islands, which are a stretch of small islands, and they eventually join a kind of a peninsula. But they're just north of Japan.
Well, he's got the word "very" in all caps, very large.
And I have been. As you may recall, several weeks ago now, I said that I thought that I was seeing activity that indicated it was very similar to what I saw prior to the really big Japanese earthquake there, which is to the north side of that island. And and in fact, earlier today, I found an article from the Japanese Seismological Service that said that they are on a very high watch for exactly that possibility.
Wow.
And they have probably the most effective seismological service of any government I know. And they watch very closely, and they have been monitoring slow movement and in the very deep waters off of the shore where these big earthquakes come out of, the plate tectonics. So, absolutely, I've been watching that. I've been seeing things that made me suspicious from a distance. And Dutch is calling it out. And now the Japanese Seismological Service also today sent out an article.
I don't get a good feel about Japan. I really don't. I'm getting a very bad feeling.
Japan's in a very, very bad way, and they have some of their biggest volcanoes are becoming more active.
It has three
most of their, yeah, most of their volcanoes are to the south, and that's not really the populated area. But they have Mount Fuji, and 25 kilometers, not even miles, away is another very major volcano. Both of them, either one of them, if they go off,
okay,
could dramatically affect Tokyo, the largest city.
Okay, there's Hakone, and there's Ontake. Yeah.
I don't know them all, but
see, I just read that, and I got a funny feeling when I just was reading this. No, I got a thought, like almost
Japan,
like a deja vu, just short of a deja vu. Like, this is not good.
No,
this whole area
this
is not good.
It's
something's
going to
happen.
It's very unstable ground, and by most standards, it's a very sheer. Well, I won't go into all the details, but the bottom line is,
wow, it's bad.
The entire island is less. It's similar to New Zealand, where the fault runs through the islands.
Jeepers creepers!
The plates don't run, but they do have faults. And the other thing about Japan is it's been built up a lot more, and they built out onto the water, and created basically landfill areas. And the last time they had that big thing, there were these dramatic pictures, you know, videos people took of water coming up through the street, in the park, and everything.
I saw that.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm getting a very bad feeling, Jerry. I'm getting a very bad feeling. I'm crying in tears. I'll pray for these people tonight because I feel something very bad's going to happen. It's like something went through me when I read this again, because I was reading it again while you're talking. And when I'm looking at these names, it's just like this feeling went through me, like, Jesus, we cover these people with your precious blood and holy wounds. You know, I'm getting a very bad feeling. Because it's not just Japan, but these island things you talked about, and South, just Philippines, I'm just getting a very bad feeling.
Wow. Philippines, too.
No, I'm in tears. I'm in tears because I'm praying for these people. There's something bad going to happen. And it's not just going to be one place. It's like a few that are going to see some things. I pray I'm wrong. But I get this.
Well,
I told you that time that when Japan had all that envision, he showed me Japan on fire, and he said, pray for them, you know. And I didn't know what I was praying for, and I just said I cover them with the precious blood. And the next morning I heard all the stuff, but then March 11th. But he had told me to pray for them, and I did, you know. And I'm praying again. I'm covering all these areas with his blood. For these people, I do not get a good feel. I can't be the only one getting this. I'm very upset for these people who are in these areas. I think a lot of big stuff is happening. You know what it is? He's showing us more and more stuff. We're seeing bigger and bigger things. He's kind of acclimating us, like, get used to this. You're going to see this. And more is going to happen.
I think there's a limit. And the Lord made it very clear to Judy, there's a limit to how much we'll see, at least.
Right. But it's going to be in succession. It keeps coming.
It keeps coming in
clumps.
Okay. Father, we lift our hearts.
Please pray for these people.
We lift your power over for the people of Japan. Help them to find rest in your peace, salvation,
convert
their spirits, and hopefully of their lives as these challenges come towards them.
I think they're going to have a lot. You've got these three volcanoes, and I saw the name again of these three volcanoes. You just got a kind of weird feeling, like, just pray for these people. I think they're in for it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because all of Japan is on lava.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of volcanic island there.
Yes. Oh, maybe that's not the right word, but they're on. What are they on? They're right over something that's.
No, they're on. They're on. They're on. Very.
What's the
actually,
word?
They are close to the meeting of several tectonic plates, and that are offshore, and but there also is a tremendous amount of volcanic activity.
Right underneath them. They're right on top of it.
Right.
I mean, super
it.
On top
right.
of it.
Yeah,
so
literally.
I mean, yeah. And you're seeing all the stuff going on around. So Nepal and everything's connected. We know that. So I just got a feel to pray. Maybe nothing will happen, but I just had a feeling in me. I know that was from the Holy Spirit to pray for these people
right.
because. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, some things are coming. Pray that everybody gets the message quickly and easily.
Yes.
I'm going to close it out right now. And thank you, Pat, for that insight and prayer.
There's a lot on here. Boy, he really went down the list here. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Lord, we love you. We trust you. And I know many of us, I'm holding figuratively my hand up as I say this, are we're pretty spent.
Yes, we are.
So pray, Lord, that things come our way. Okay. I'm going to play this song. We'll close it out.
Sure.
Our God.
Yeah. And I love everybody.
Love you too. Love you too, Pat.
Okay. Take care, guys. See you in the air.
Spirit of the Bride says, come.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no
Bye, guys.